Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast.
Hello and welcome to Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast. I'm your host, Frankie Francis, and I'm also joined by former player Danny Collins. How are you doing, Danny?
I'm good, thank you, Frankie. How are you?
Very well, thanks. A lot has gone on since we spoke during the summer when this podcast was born, shall we say. We had a couple of pilot episodes that never saw the light of day because things have changed so fast. So much has happened since the end of the season, the first time that is, to the end of the season, what is now. Of course, we're going to be looking forward as well to the season ahead, and we've got a special guest on today's programme as the first Unfiltered podcast features new signing and just unveiled Bailey Wright. But Danny, how have you been coping, and what did you think about how the season finally came to an end?
Yeah, obviously personally not too bad. It's been a bit of a battle in terms of the timescale at home. The kids in the house, and you get a bit of cabin fever. But thankfully now we've sort of coming through the worst of it, I think, where you can get out and about. But reflecting on the season, it was a strange one. Obviously, unknown territory for the FA and for everyone involved. And from our point of view as a club, it was a disappointing end, you know, to have it sort of taken away from us, if you like, on the edge of the playoffs, and with still, you know, a certain amount of games to go where we could have had a good say in what was to come. Disappointing then, obviously, to watch the playoffs, and for obviously looking at Wickham's point of view, they were one of the teams that voted to end the season, but ultimately ended up getting promotion through the playoffs. So there'll be a bit of a sour taste, I'd imagine, for a lot of the fans and players, but it is what it is. We've got to put it to bed, and we've got to move forward now and look forward to next season.
Absolutely, and we've seen all the leagues finally finished now, including, you know, Premier League, Championship. It means we get an idea of which teams are coming down to play with in League One again. It looks like we're going to be clashing against Charlton once again. They're going to be in there and about, aren't they, next season, as well as Wigan, who, you know, saw that very strange situation what happened at their club. I mean, how did you view that as someone who's worked in football?
Yeah, for the players, certainly. Deflating is probably the word I'd use. You know, they were sort of comfortable, sort of mid-table finish, really, and even came so close at the end there. But yeah, they'd be disappointed. It's sort of out of their hands in a way. But, you know, again, it's happened now. They've got to dust themselves off, and they've got to prepare themselves to try and, along with a lot of other teams, as you say there, Charlton's, you know, we'll have the Portsmouths, ourselves, Ipswich. There'll be some tough teams up there, the top end of the table, all aiming for promotion next year. So it's not going to be easy. There's a big expectation on the players to, you know, to deliver our third year in the league, and got to get out of this league if we can, but it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, and I guess a way of getting out of this league is bringing in some new players. We've seen the additions of Aidan O'Brien this week coming in from Millwall. Do you know much of him?
If I'm honest, I don't know. I might have seen him one or two games. By all accounts, looking up on a few of his clips, he looks quite a busy player. You know, talking well on his interview there. Obviously, as a striker, he says he loves to score goals. So if he can go out there and produce for the club and, you know, get himself 20-plus goals next season, it'd be great, and make himself a hero at the club and to go from there, really. And as you mentioned there, with him coming in, there'll be competition for places. I'm sure there's going to be more additions coming in through the door in the next few weeks. You know, with Bailey coming in, strengthening us at the back. And, you know, as I say, if Phil Parkinson can make three or four more additions, then certainly build a strong squad ready to compete at the top end of the table again.
What kind of market do you think we're looking in because of the situation of the way the season ended? And obviously League One is a very short-term deal kind of environment as well, isn't it, for footballers? So what do you think, you know, you mentioned one of the players we've already recruited. Would it be a case of names that Sunderland fans won't be so familiar with because of the market we're shopping within? But there's lots of bargains to be had though, Danny, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a strange situation with what's happened with the virus going about, and a lot of teams, especially the lower leagues, you know, League Twos, League Ones, will have all felt it. And so, but there's going to be a lot of players out of contract, a lot of players who are worried about getting deals sorted as a result of this. And I think, as you say, for Sunderland now, it's a key recruitment period in terms of what we can bring in. Yes, there are going to be a lot of lads coming in who perhaps the fans won't have heard of and don't know much about, but there are some gems out there to be found, I think. You know, if we're wily in the recruitment and you're looking at the lower leagues, and League Twos. There's some lads who've had good periods there, and even, you know, you're getting lads filtering down from Championship clubs who have been let go, maybe young lads who aren't experienced. But if, as I say, if the scouting network's been good and the recruitment's right, then we can get these lads to come in and do a job, hopefully.
And one of those people that we've made permanent is Bailey Wright. In those five games, it was only five games we saw him in action in, but he really did solidify that defence, didn't he, for Sunderland last season in the games he featured in. And you could say that the form was, you know, affected from him not being in the squad towards the end. How did you see Bailey in a Sunderland shirt, and do you think he's a good assignment for Sunderland?
Yeah, certainly. As you say, you touched on the games he came in. He played five games, had four clean sheets, only lost the one of the games there away at Portsmouth. And, you know, so to come in, play five games and has four clean sheets as a defender, it's what you paid for, it's what you want to do. Perhaps it's no coincidence that when he came out of the team, that the next five games the lads played, they only won one of those. So, yeah, you can look at stats and who was in and around the team, and Bailey obviously didn't feature in those games. So I'm sure he was a big addition. You know, as you say, I've played against him a few times. He's at a good age, you know, 28 for a centre-half. He's vocal. He's a captain type, a leader at the back there. And, you know, if he's playing in the back three, I think he's perhaps the ideal one to sit in the middle of the other two lads either side of him, you know, dictating play and getting lads back in shape and stuff. And certainly a good addition, I think, to the squad moving forward.
Yeah, he's got a good pedigree, really, hasn't he? Championship quality from Bristol City. Played 179 times for Preston North End, as well as being an Australian international. Yeah. We've got some good players in the side, haven't we? International still at this level. They've got to make a difference in League One.
Yeah, of course it is. It's experience. You know, you need. I always think you need a good blend. You know, some good young lads coming into the team. Obviously, you're looking at Denver Hume last year, his first real full season in the team, if you like. He as the season got on, he could see he was progressing with confidence. And but then you need the experienced lads, a good spine in the team with some experience. Hopefully, you know, Will Grigg, as you say, an experienced player both at international level and at the levels he's played, and hopefully he can come back himself now, you know, dusted his head off, if you like, in the close season, and you know, come in and want to have a real good go at it this season for us. You've still got Max Power, Grant Ledbetter in the team, so these can bring these young lads into the team who are coming in to look for experience and a voice around the place. And hopefully, you know, say Phil Parkinson can bring one or two more players in with the experience or some young lads, and we'll have a good blend in the squad.
Absolutely. We'll speak to him in a second. But the whole idea behind this podcast is we get to speak exclusively to players in and around the first team. We're going to be bringing you lots of features and in-depth interviews over the season ahead. But we thought we'd start today's and first podcast with new signing Bailey Wright. Let's hear from him. Hello and welcome to Sunderland AFC, Bailey Wright. Bailey, congratulations on signing for Sunderland. How does it feel?
It feels good. It's fine. It's nice to finally get it done after what's been an interesting few months around football and everything. And just delighted to get it sorted, and can't wait to get in and start pre-season.
How long have you known about the possibility of signing for Sunderland permanently?
I knew when I come on loan back in January that you know, the possibility of signing would be there. And for me, I just wanted to do my job and be successful on the football pitch and see what happened from there. So sort of talks probably didn't really start until after, you know, the season was finished the way it was, and when everyone started planning for next season. So yeah, the talks have been going for a bit now, but I'm glad we got there, and I'm buzzing.
And yeah, and of course we've had this strange situation of lockdown, and ultimately the league we play in being cancelled. Have you been occupying your time during lockdown, and where have you been during that time?
I've kept myself busy. It was from when the lockdown started, I actually was in the middle of my rehab from the injury I picked up against Oxford. So that was a bit of a challenge thrown at me with, you know, I think there's a lot of challenges for everyone. But I had to get myself fit and ready, which I was hoping to be fit and available for what could have potentially been, you know, playoffs or, you know, finishing the season. So I would have been ready for that had we gone back. And that was my goal. And then from then on, I just, kept myself busy. I've actually gone and done a personal training degree from home just to keep myself sane and keep myself busy in the days. I've just been based down in Bristol, which is where, yeah, my wife and my dogs are. So, yeah, just kept busy and try to keep occupied doing things around the house and doing the right things, really.
Yeah, a very uncertain time for footballers in a position like yourself. I mean, mentally, how do you cope with that? The prospect of, I mean, there'll be a lot of free agents out there right now struggling to find clubs or maybe worried about where their career's going to go next. Was that ever in your mind?
I'm a believer of control the controllables, and, you know, being a free agent's one of those things. You got to back yourself, back your ability, and things will work out. I'd like to think that what I've done so far, I'd have opportunities, which I have had. But yeah, of course, there's, you know, the mental side of things. Some days you're cool, calm, and you're collected about, you know, what the future will hold. And then other days you seem to, you know, it builds up on you a bit and you just want to know, you want a bit of certainty so you can start planning. But that's the beauty of football. It's a short career. It can throw things at you whenever when you least expect them, and you've got to be ready for them. So, you know, this whole lockdown challenge and everything that's going on in the world throws its challenges at you, and you've got to be ready and focused. A big part of keeping myself busy and focused is just having a plan every day and just having a little bit of structure rather than just doing what you want. Because, you know, one of my our Australian managers said to us, this is an insight into what retired life will be like from football if you don't do anything. And he said it's scary. And sometimes you're like, this is probably what it's like. Finish football, you got nothing to do every day sometimes unless you find your next thing to do. So it was good. It threw challenges and will probably make us all a bit more ready and appreciate when football's back and normal.
You mentioned some challenges there. You had your injury, of course, which ended your season a little bit earlier than the lockdown actually ended everything. What was there a chance that if the football did restart, as because Sunderland wanted the season to regain, was there a chance that you would have featured in those games if the league had came back?
Yeah, again, that was my aim was to get back fit and ready for the end of the season before all of this happened, first of all. I was hoping I could probably make it for the last two games of the season, which, you know, was hoping would be big games, which would, you know, lead to either playoffs or automatic promotion spot. And then, unfortunately, that didn't happen. So it was looking like, I thought I would be available to now play every game for the rest of the season, which, in a selfish kind of way, would have worked in my favour a little bit.
Yeah, and in those games you played, fans and commentators alike were pretty impressed with how you played, Bailey, and how you fit in. What was it like playing for Sunderland in those few games you played, and how did you find the system of which we played within?
I really enjoyed it. The three at the back is a system I've always enjoyed playing in. And when I spoke to the gaffer when he wanted to bring me into the club on loan, that was where he saw me playing, in the middle of a three, or maybe left or right, depending on how the games went and stuff. And that was, you know, a part of me wanting to come to the club, was the manager, a massive part of that, and his system and the lads we had. And, you know, obviously I only played five games, but I loved the feeling I got from everyone in the club, everyone around the place.
Danny, have you ever played against Bailey?
I've come across Bailey before. I did have a little check on the stats and stuff. I think we when I was at Forest, I played against him in a cup tie, fourth round cup tie, I think, at Preston, when he was at Preston. I think we came out 2-0 victors on the day in that one, and I think Sheffield United beat us in the fifth round in the next round. But I'm sure I've played against him on one or two other occasions, maybe when I was at Rotherham as well. So, but obviously at other enders of the pitch. Might have had one or two tussles at corners
and
stuff. A few elbows coming in and stuff. But no, I've obviously watched him and watched Bailey last season in the games he played. And obviously, when he came into the team, you know, I think winning five games you played Bailey, didn't you? And winning four of those games, you know, picking up 12 points out of the 15. Unfortunately, as you say, picked up your injury away at Oxford at the ankle ligaments, wasn't it? That you picked up, yeah. You know, touching on that, that's the only injury touch I had in my career was at Forest, came down off a header and tore my ankle ligaments as well. And I think I was out for sort of eight to 10 weeks with that. Obviously, as you said, touching on there, you were looking to get back if we had got into the playoffs last season. Did the physios give you a time scale on what you would have been looking at getting back to full fitness with your injury?
So when we first had the injury, it was ligaments, which was the syndesmosis, which is quite common and a tricky injury depending on how you do it. So for me, it was, I had to have an operation, and we were looking at about 10 to 12 weeks as a rehab. So after doing my rehab and following the program that I was given from the physios and the surgeon and everything, it was looking at about 10 weeks. I was fully fit. At that 10 weeks, all I was doing was running on a field and wasn't able to, you know, get into a proper training session or, you know, go and kick someone and give it a proper test, which is what you want to do as a centre half. But yeah, it threw its challenges because I wasn't able to see a physio when lockdown began. So a lot of it was just over the phone, sort of, how's it feel? Like, it was a real gauge of, you know, trusting myself and trusting where I was at, you know. And, you know, it's like sometimes you need that second opinion. You need always advice from someone to see it, to make sure you're on track and you're doing the right things, because you don't want to go put 10, 12 weeks of rehab work in and find out you're way off and done the wrong things. But fortunately, with technology nowadays, you can call each other and do stuff like this as much as you want. So with help from the physios at Sunderland and from Bristol City, it all went to plan. So I would have been back and available to play, to finish the season had it restarted again.
What did you think about how the season did end, Bailey? Were you a bit annoyed about the way the voting process worked? I mean, you had a case of some of those teams, of which one of them went up through the playoffs, who actually voted to end the season. How did you feel about that?
It's frustrating, and I think there's so many ways you can look at it, rights or wrongs. But there's no example of this ever happening before, and no one really knew the answers. As frustrating as it was for ourselves, as you know, we would have backed ourselves to go and get promoted, and I'm sure we would have done that. There's no doubt in my mind that I believe we could have done that. The frustrating part is other teams got the opportunity. Some teams wanted it, some teams didn't. In what was, you know, unusual circumstances around the world in football. So I guess a decision had to be made one way or another, and you're never going to please everyone. And unfortunately, we were just, we were on the poor end of that decision, which, you know, will leave us frustrated, but you got to move on. You can't dwell on it. We've got another great opportunity for next season. And what, you know, we want to be a massive season, regardless of what's happened. There's a lot to look forward to now.
You mentioned the gaffer as well, and he was one of the reasons why you wanted to come to the club. But what does he like to work for, and what does he require and expect from his players?
Yeah, like I said, I only worked with him for a short spell. But you know, when you're a player, you come across managers and players a lot, and he's a manager whose sides I've played quite a few times when he was at Bolton. And I always liked the structure of the team, the discipline, and the hard-working, honest team. And I think that sort of, it says it all there. He expects his players to give everything on that pitch, be hard-working and honest, and just be good people. And I think, you know, we had that culture. I certainly felt like we had the culture and we were heading in the right direction. So I'm excited to, you know, get a full pre-season with the lads and the manager and be able to build for, you know, a complete season and what I'm very confident about.
Bailey, obviously you touched on it there in terms of formations. Now, watching the games last season, the gaffer did change it now and then. Obviously went with a back three or a back five, if you like, and then sometimes to a back four. Myself, I've played in both a back four and a back three. It is a different role, especially if you're one of the outside centre-halves. Obviously, what would you prefer as a centre-half, really? Do you prefer a back four? So you know you've got your partner in the middle, you've got your right back outside you. Whereas in a back three, more often than not, the outside man gets the licence to go and join in and get forward a little bit more. Obviously, looking at Sheffield United this season, where their two outside centre-halves love to bomb on and get joined in attacks. Whereas, what would you prefer as a player if you had the choice of back four or a back three?
Me personally, I really enjoy a back three, and it's one I've played a lot with club and with our national team. And like you say, there, depends on which position you play it. If you're the outside centre-backs or if you're the one in the middle, it can be a completely different style of how you play. I like back four, I like back three, but I think it depends on your personnel. And I like the middle of a three more than anything. You can just,
I bet you do. That's the comfy one, that middle
is,
of the three, isn't it? Yeah,
directing the traffic. You tell people what to do and they do the work for you, which is, I love it. Yeah, it really does depend on the players you've got for the system for it to work. And sometimes it can feel like you just play a back five, and as a middle one, you could almost feel like the wasted centre-back with not much to do when you get pinned in. So it all depends on how you play it. But when that system goes well, I really enjoy it.
And
yeah, I think as you get a lot of the fans... Sorry, Frank, obviously the fans, a lot of the times I've you know, caught comments when I've been at the games, why are we playing in a back five? We're at home and we should be... to me, you're only in a back five when you're under pressure. I mean, looking at teams, Newcastle, for instance, if they don't have a lot of the ball... You know, you find yourself pinned in with the back five, don't you? But whereas for the likes of Sunderland playing in League One, you know, one of the favourites to get promoted, it should more often not be a back three, as you say, with, you know, whether it be Denver Hume on the left should be getting forward, and Luke O'Neill or Conor McLaughlin, whoever's playing on the right-hand side of it, should be looking to get forward. So it should really be a back three, shouldn't it, and not a back five for Sunderland next season.
Yeah, I agree there. I think, you know, when you've got legs in the team and athletes like that that can get up and down and can do both sides of the game, you know, obviously defensively get back and do your job, but when we go on attack, it's a license for, you know, midfielders, wing backs to go. Sometimes the outside centre back can go, and it can be much more attacking than other formations. It can allow you to get a few more attacking players in the team. I know it might sound more defensive, but sometimes it can allow a bit more freedom as well. So yeah, it's a formation that can be tweaked and changed so many different ways depending on what teams you play. And it really can be, you know, attacking formation, which can pin the other team in, which, you know, like you said, there will be, you know, the favourites to get promoted, and you want to go attack teams and have majority of the game and dominate. And I think it's a formation that, yeah, you can mix it up and change it about, and if need be, you can, you know, with the personnel, change it to a back four if we need to, with, you know, we've got lads that are versatile that can play a few different positions, which is also important.
And some of those lads feature people like Tom Flanagan, who's put his pen to paper as well at the club, Jordan Willis, who looks like a great asset at this level as well, and Denver Hume and Luke O'Neill, who are really finding themselves in the game over the last couple of seasons in particular. What they like to play with? What are they, nice lads as well?
Yeah, it's a great dressing room. Good bunch of lads, just honest, normal blokes, really, which is good. And like I say, some real quality on the pitch in that team, as well as good people off it. So, yeah, I only had a short spell for myself, but got to know the lads really well. A welcoming group that are honest and hardworking. And committed, and I think that they're the most important things that you have. And on top of that, we've got some real quality amongst all of them as well. So some exciting players there, and, you know, a lot to look forward to for the next season for sure.
So let's look forward to that season. When can you get into the training ground then, Bailey? When can you meet up with your squad mates?
I'm hoping I'll be in on the 10th of August is when I'll be able to come in. Unfortunately, I was stuck in Ibiza. And a rule change meant that, I have to self-isolate now for 14 days. So as soon as I found out, I tried to get a flight out of there straight away, but I couldn't find anything within 2 hours' notice. So, it is what it is. Like we said before, it's unusual circumstances and not ideal, but we're going to do what we're told. So, yeah, I'll be up there ready to start training on the 10th, but I'll be following a program from home, and, they won't be making that easy for me, that's for sure.
That bleep test will be waiting for you at the training ground, mate, I'm
bleep
sure.
Bleep test. Oh, it's horrible, isn't it? Do you know what? I'll actually probably just enjoy running and looking at someone else next to me absolutely blowing. It'll actually be a nice thing rather than just thinking, am I just blowing here, or is there other people as well? You know, you don't know.
Yeah, you won't be
training
on your
by
own,
yourself,
you?
You're always thinking, am I fit, am I not fit? And then you do the bleep test and you're like, don't be the first one.
Don't be the first one to drop. Yeah, been there. So, babe, just touching on you there, obviously you said yourself you're only at the club for about five games or so, but just in your time at the club and in and around Sunderland itself, did you get a sense and a feeling of how big the club can be in terms of going forward? Obviously, training ground, facilities, stadium, fan base, everything about it, if we can get it right on and off the pitch, where the club can get to, yeah?
The club's... from the moment I came and signed for the club, I had a special feeling about it the feeling it gave me and the size of the club. It was just, you felt really, real a real importance coming to the club. You felt the size of this place. You felt part of something really important. And to make it memorable, we want to get back to where the club belongs and be successful on that football pitch, and both come together off the pitch, on the pitch. The fan base we've got is one of the best. You look at the crowds and the support we get from not just in Sunderland but around the world. There's supporters everywhere. The size of the stadium, the training ground, it's the setups, like I said, one of the best about. And now we've just got to do the business on the pitch. But it's certainly the biggest club I've played for, and I can't wait to get back and start it again.
And even though the trials and tribulations which the club has gone through over the last 2-3 years as well, Bailey, what's the perception of Sunderland Football Club within football, do you think?
A massive, massive club that when that club starts winning again, that's going to be a difficult club and a difficult team to stop, and something everyone will want to be part of. I think there's been a lot said with where the clubs found themselves within recent years, but like we say, football works in strange ways sometimes, and Sunderland won't be the only club that have faced back-to-back relegations. But like I said earlier, past is the past. There's so much to look forward to in the future and what's ahead, and I think that's all we're looking forward to now, because of the potential of the squad we've got there, the management, the size of the club, the fan base, and the expectations of where we want to get to is what makes it so great. That pressure is real pressure, because the club has real expectations of getting back, being successful and winning things again. And that's what excites me, having the it's a real pressure. It's not a false pressure of someone that just wants to do well. It's a team that we expect nothing less than winning and being successful. And I think that was a real part of me that really liked that. And the pressure is real pressure, but like I say, the reward's massive.
So what's the targets then? I mean, is automatic a realistic possibility for next season for Sunderland then?
Yeah, of course it is. I'm sure when we get in and have discussions as a group and as a club, it'll be to win that league, and nothing less than that. I think we'll be aiming high, and it's realistic with the group we've got. And what we've got behind us, I think that will be, that will be our aim, that will be our goal, to go in the league and take it from there.
And there's some teams, of course, dropped down from the Championship who could be challenging for that. Charlton, who are old fours, if you like. Wigan look like they've come down as well, who were firing pretty good in the Championship despite being relegated through the points deduction, and Hull of course as well. Anyone else from League One do you think will be at the top end?
Look, there's some strong teams throughout that league, and League One seems to get stronger and stronger every season when you look at it, and that's because the Championship's so competitive and teams find it difficult to stay there and find themselves in League One, but everyone wants to get promoted. So there'll be the teams like your Oxfords that missed out, Portsmouth's, Peterborough, that were playing some good football towards the end of the season and were unfortunate to miss out like ourselves. So there's some good sides there. Fleetwood, another one that put on a great run towards the end of the season and showed what they're about. But very much the focus of next season won't be about what other teams are doing. It'll be about us doing our job week in, week out. And the rest can worry about what they have to, and we'll worry about what we have to.
We've got a start date for the season, but we still don't know when the fans will be allowed in to the stadium. Just what was it like playing at the Stadium of Light? And have you got a message for those fans who unfortunately won't be able to get in soon, but hopefully will be one day soon?
Yeah, it's unusual times playing without fans. I can tell you no player wants that, no fans want that, no club. But unfortunately, it's just the way it has to be at the moment. Hopefully that will change soon. But we'll know, empty stadium or not, we'll know we'll have a massive backing of people, of fans from around the world, from around Sunderland, that will be following us from their sofas, from friends' barbecues, whatever it will be. We might not hear them within the stadium, but we'll know we've got that support behind us and backing us all the way. And I think that's what's so important, because when you've played in the stadium like before, you know what an intimidating place it can be for opposition, and you know what advantage that can give you. And as a, you know, as the home team, what a boost it can give you with that backing behind you. But like I said, in the back of our minds, we'll know that you know of who we're doing it for will be supporting us. Yeah, regardless, we can hear them or not. But it'll be the new normal for a while, and hopefully it won't be too long, and people can start coming in and watching again.
Excellent stuff, Bailey. I'm sure all of the Sunderland fans around the world wish you well, and good luck for the season ahead.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
So that was Sunderland's new signing, the third one before the start of the new season. And it was, of course, Bailey Wright. Danny, impressive what you heard?
Yeah, certainly. He speaks well. You can see he's, as I say there, he's an experienced lad now in terms of, you know, he's at 28-year-old, so he's at a good age. He's got good experience at international level with, you know, 24 caps under his belt and good experience at championships. So that will filter down now, obviously. He knows the expectation from the club and the fan base of what's expected from him next season and where we're looking to get to. And you can tell he's looking forward to getting back in and to get ready for next season.
Absolutely. And hopefully it'll be a part of a series of podcasts we'll be bringing you over the season, where we get in-depth chats and exclusives from the first team here at Sunderland Football Club. Danny, you've also prepared some features as well for later on in the season. You're going to be testing them on general knowledge, because I heard during lockdown you were a bit of the king of the Zoom quiz. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, started with sort of one or two of the family members. We just had a Saturday night quiz, really. That developed to about 10, 12 couples during the sort of 5 or 6 week period we had on there. We'll try and bring one or two in and test the knowledge of the boys as the season progresses, and see who's the brain box amongst the squad, I think.
Right, we'll do all sorts of stuff like that. So do keep tuned to Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast. And for myself, Frankie Francis, and Danny Collins, we'll speak to you very soon.